All rise. You may be seated. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I do.
We are gathered today on this most happy occasion to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony. The relation of husband and wife is most sacred when it is that of two souls with a single thought, two hearts that beat as one. It is the blending of two lives, the union of two natures. When God wished to describe the beauty and unity and completeness of the church, when God wished to reveal to man the understanding of a happy estate of his people, he chose to picture a wedding, a devoted bridegroom with his spotless, glowing bride. He has spoken the substance of marriage laws when he said, "Let the wife reverence her husband, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." We have gathered here today to share in the joy of these who have come to join themselves as God's perfect type of everlasting love. We have gathered here to witness their vows of fidelity. We have gathered here to wish for them a union which shall rejoice the heart of God and make his picture true before mankind. Gustavo, you are about to take upon yourself a pure resolve, a solemn vow, incurring grave and lasting responsibilities. The woman of your choice is now to become the partner of your life, the co-heir of your possessions, the queen of your home. In creation, Adam the man was first formed, then the woman, Eve. This demonstrates that the woman might be for the man, setting forth the humility, modesty, and gentleness that should characterize her kind. Man, being made last of all God's creatures, was set forth as the best and the most excellent of all God's creative works. And yet Eve, being made after Adam, and out of him comes such an honor to be the glory of the man. If the man is the head, she is the crown, a crown to her husband. The man was dust refined, but the woman doubly refined, one step further from the earth. In being created from man or out of man, she was not out of his head to dominate or to be over him, nor out of his feet to be under him or trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, from under his arm to be protected by him, and near to his heart to be loved by him. Paula, you also are to assume grave responsibilities. He whom you are about to wed will look to you for comfort and support in the hour of trial. Your smile should be his brightest day, your voice his sweetest music, your industry his greatest wealth, Your economy, his safest steward. Your lips, his faithful counselor. And your prayers, his most able advocate in heaven's court. Would you all join us as we sing, "It Is Well With My Soul"? couple has asked me to share some words that God has placed on my heart. And so they're going to have a seat for just a few moments here. And I'd like to talk to you about the romance of redemption. That's what God has laid on my heart. In the book of Genesis, in the book of beginnings in chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, it says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let's pray. Father, today we are so grateful that you are here to bless this marriage. We know, Lord Jesus Christ, that you honored the marriage in Cana of Galilee with your presence and with your first miracle. Lord, we know that you are honoring this marriage today as well, and we pray that everything that is said and done will point to you and bring glory to Jesus Christ. Just bless and anoint this ceremony for your glory. And bless these words that I'm about to speak. May your Holy Spirit apply them to each life as need be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With each of God's creation, he announced that it was very good, that it was good, rather. And then when he came to the sixth day and he created Adam, he saw something different. Because in verse 18, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. All the things that were created were good, but it was not good for man to be alone. And so there's some things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture about how God views marriage and the impact that it has upon his kingdom. One of the reasons that he created Eve and gave her to Adam was for companionship. Someone like him, someone that he could share all of the benefits and blessings of God with. And I think there's no greater fellowship and no greater companionship than of a husband and wife who love each other and love God and enjoy the blessings of God together. In fact, I believe that a Christian home is the nearest thing to heaven that we have on this earth. And God had planned a bride for Adam, and he planned for them to have companionship together. That wasn't the only reason he brought Eve into Adam's life. It was also for cooperation. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And the word is a noun. It's really a helper. I will make a helper for him. He wanted somebody who could maximize Adam's strengths and his gifts and abilities. Someone that could help him to strive to be all that he could be, to fulfill his potential. And that's the kind of helper that she was to be. And that's the kind of helper that she was. And so she was created and given to Adam for companionship, for cooperation. But there's another idea here, and that is one of completion. The idea that I will make a helpmeet for him, that means a fitting help, someone that will meet a specific need. God says that Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, and that a part of him was missing, a part of him that he wanted to get back. In fact, have you ever heard a man say, my wife, she completes me? Or Without her, I feel not complete. There's a reason for that. It's the way God made us. It's the way God intended marriage to be. You see, a husband without a wife is like a violin without a bow. But together, they make beautiful music. And that's the way God intended it, and that's the way God wants it. But there's another reason, I believe, that God gave the woman to the man, and that is for communication. And when I say communication, I'm not talking about them just communicating one with another. That would fall under the idea of companionship. But they might create, communicate to all creation a principle. I believe that this home, this first home in the Garden of Eden, is meant to be a picture of Christ and the church. In Genesis chapter 2, again, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." There's often more to the Bible than what we just read on the surface. This is literal history. God, first of all, created Adam, and then he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and he took one of his ribs, and from that he made a woman. That's true historically, but it's also true figuratively, or something even more wonderful than that. It's true of a certain picture. And whether you can see it or right now, it is a picture of Christ and his church. Now, the Bible tells us that Adam was a type, or he was a figure or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says that Adam was a figure of him that is to come, of Jesus. And that's the reason why we call Jesus the second Adam. And we sing about that in the Christmas carol, "Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love." The first Adam was Adam in the garden. The second Adam, the last Adam, is Jesus Christ. The first man was a picture in an Old Testament revelation of what the last Adam would be, what he would be like in many ways. And Eve, then, the Bible teaches us as a picture, a symbol of the church, because the church is the bride of Christ. And just as Eve was a bride for Adam, the church is a bride for Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me on how Adam received his bride. It says that he was put into a deep sleep, and from his side, from his wounded side, with bloodshed, was a bride brought forth. And that's a tremendous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, and that spear was put into his side. And out of that wounded side came water and blood. But also from the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ has come his church. And there's a very interesting thing here. The Bible says that God made the woman. And the word there in Hebrew literally means he built the woman. And you know what Jesus is doing today? He is building his church. He is completing his bride. And even as I'm preaching to you today, and you are here witnessing this marriage, from the wounded side of Jesus, God is building a Savior. From the wounded side of our Savior, he's building a bride, a church. One of these days, the very last person who is ever going to get saved is going to walk down this aisle or an aisle of a church somewhere, or some way, somehow, they're going to say yes to Jesus. And they're going to receive him as their groom and as their Savior. And God will now look at that, and he will say, "The church has been built. The bride is complete. I have built a bride for my son." And you know what's going to happen? Just as God brought Eve to Adam, God is going to bring the church to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to have the bride presented to him. God the Father is going to present God the Son with his bride. I hope more than anything today that you are part of his bride. That you understand this romance of redemption, how he is wooing you to be a part of his bride, a part of his church. Listen to what Paul had to say in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so there you see that the church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus slept the deep sleep of death. Adam, I don't believe, died, but Jesus literally died. And he gave himself for his bride. He gave himself for his church, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And the scripture goes on to say, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Just to what it says in Genesis. For a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. And when Adam saw Eve coming that day, he said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And Paul says, this is a great mystery, I understand. But what I want to reveal the mystery to you, I'm speaking of Christ and the church. What happened to Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden is a picture of Christ and his church. And what does it mean? Bottom line is this. There is a Redeemer. There is a Savior who died in agony and blood. No matter what condition you find yourself in today, I want you to know this. I want you to know that he loves you. And he wants to forgive you of your sins. And you are the one that he died for. And he's saying to you, will you be a part of my bride? Will you be a part of my church? There's another picture in the Bible that represents this so well. Isaac is a type of Jesus. And Abraham loved his son Isaac, and he wanted Isaac to have a wife. And so he takes his trusted servant, Eliezer, and he said, I want you to go into my country, and I want you to find a bride for Isaac. And so Eliezer, the faithful servant, goes and he finds a bride for Isaac. And it's the same thing that's happening today. God the Father's concern is that his son have a bride. And so he has sent his trusted servant into this world. He has sent his Holy Spirit to convince us to become part of the bride. What a job of convincing that servant did. Girls, can you imagine somebody coming to you today and saying, I have a husband for you. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. You have to go back with me, and you're just going to have to trust me. But let me tell you, this guy is great. He is the man of beyond your wildest dreams. You might be a little hesitant, wouldn't you? But the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, let me tell you about the one I serve. Let me tell you about the one you're going to marry. He is beyond your wildest dreams. Jesus Christ, there is no way to describe him. No way whatsoever. And his Father is rich beyond belief. But this servant, Eliezer, did such a great job of convincing Rebekah that she left her family, left everything behind, and followed him. And I'm sure that along the way, she needed some comfort and support and some encouragement, and he was there to give it to her. And I read the passage of Scripture, and Eliezer had 10 camels that he brought with him. And you know what these camels were filled with? They were filled with riches from Abraham's house. And every time, I believe Rebecca got a little worrisome and thought, am I a fool? Am I crazy for leaving everything to go marry a man that I have never seen? Eliezer would go over to one of those camels and he would open up one of the sacks and he would say, here's a ring. Isaac wants you to have it. Or here's a bracelet, or here's a necklace. Let me tell you, let me remind you about the one that I serve. He has all of these gifts, and he has these gifts, and he's instructed me to give these gifts to you. And he would encourage her heart. And you know, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in this world today. Every time I get a little bit discouraged, every time I think, is the Christian life worth it? Is it, you know, is it really worth it? Or am I being duped? The Holy Spirit comes along and he says, here's a gift. Here's a blessing from heaven. Here's a blessing from the hand of God. Here's a blessing from his son. He wants you to have it. He wants you to share in that. And you know, today, I love him, even though I have not yet seen him with my physical eyes. Rebecca said, I will go. And in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen, ye love. I've never seen Jesus, but I know him, and I love him, and I've given my heart to him, and I've given my life to him, and Paula has, and Gustavo has. And one day, he's going to come back. The servant brought Rebekah all the way to Isaac. It says, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode up on the camels and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah and went his way. Would you like to be a part of this romance of redemption? In verse 63 of Genesis 24, it says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. To me, this is one of the most potent, one of the most incredible verses in all the Bible. The one for whom Isaac had been looking and preparing and praying and longing for and waiting is finally coming. The one that he has been anticipating, the electric moment, now has arrived when they meet face to face. I want you to see how exciting this is. In verse 64 of Genesis 24, it says, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. In other words, when she saw Isaac, the camel was going too slow. She jumped off the camel, and she ran to him. Remember, she had never seen him before, but she knew who he was. She knew what he was like, and she couldn't wait to see him. And one of these days, Jesus is returning for his bride. I can't wait to see him. One of these days, faith will turn to sight. Hope will turn to reality, and we will become one with our Lord. I think it's the greatest love story ever written. I think it's the romance of redemption. But listen to me, please. Rebekah was chosen, but what if she had said no? What if she had said, I will not go with this man? She could have said that because she had a will of her own. If she had said that, she would be a forgotten woman. We would never have heard her name. But thank God she said yes. And she's enshrined in our hearts in the halls of heaven forever. Now, God has commissioned me today to ask you a question. My Father has sent me to tell you about Jesus and about how much he loves you and about how much he wants to romance you and make you his bride. He wants you to know how wonderful Jesus is. And he wants you to know that someday he's coming back. My question to you is this. Will you receive Jesus as your Savior? Will you make room for him in your life? See, he said, whosoever will may come. Will you be a part of the whosoever will? Would you be a part of his bride? Would you be a part of his church? That's what he's wanting all of us to answer. Will you say, I do, to Jesus? The couple has chosen their own declarations and vows. If the wedding party would come back on the platform, please.
Gustavo, en tomar a esta mujer cuya mano tienes en la tuya para ser tu esposa legal, te comprometes a ella por la gracia y con la ayuda de Dios Todopoderoso. Tu lealtad, dedicación, amor y afecto completo. Prometes honrarla como un vaso frágil y vivir con ella según el conocimiento y la comprensión. Renunciando a todos los demás, guardándote solo para ella, para no pecar contra Dios y blasfemar su santo nombre. Si es así, di sí.
Sí.
Paula, in taking this man who holds you by the right hand, do you pledge to him by the grace and help of Almighty God your complete loyalty, devotion, love, and affection? Will you, by God's grace, strive to be a crown for his life, acknowledge him gladly as the one that God has set to be the head of your home, to endeavor to fulfill what God has said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and forsaking all others, to keep only to him, lest you sin against God and blaspheme his holy name? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Y ustedes dos prometan solemnemente de nunca buscar cómo terminar este matrimonio en una corte de la ley por el divorcio, reconociendo que Dios los ha unido a ambos de ustedes para ser uno solo en él.
And do you solemnly promise that you will never seek to end this marriage in a court of law by divorce, and acknowledge that God himself has united you both to become one in him? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
In order to demonstrate their servanthood one to another, they are going to be washing each other's feet while a group of young ladies will sing, He Hideth My Soul. The couple has again chosen their vows.
Repite después de mí hablando a ella. ¿Listo? Yo, Gustavo Olivares.
Yo, Gustavo Olivares.
Te tomo a ti, Paola Melcín.
Te tomo a ti, Paola Melcín.
Para tenerte a ti.
Para tenerte a ti.
Desde este día en adelante.
Desde este día en adelante.
Como la esposa y la mujer de mi vida.
Como la esposa y la mujer de mi vida.
Para amarte y respetarte.
Para amarte y respetarte.
En la salud y en la enfermedad.
En la salud y en la enfermedad.
En las riquezas o en la pobreza.
En la riqueza o en la pobreza.
En lo bueno o en lo malo.
En lo bueno o en lo malo.
Para protegerte y honrarte.
Para protegerte y honrarte.
Para darme a mí para ti.
Para darme a mí para ti.
Para amarte como Cristo.
Para amarte como Cristo.
Ama a su iglesia.
Ama a su iglesia.
Y en la misma manera.
Y en la misma manera.
Que Él se entregó por ella.
Que Él se entregó por ella.
Hasta que.
Hasta que.
Por Dios o por la muerte.
Por Dios o por la muerte.
Seamos separados.
Seamos separados.
And then Paula, would you repeat after me, please? I, Paula Melcine.
I, Paula Melcine.
Take thee, Gustavo Olivares.
Take thee, Gustavo Olivares.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
By God's grace and help.
By God's grace and help.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or poorer. In sickness and health.
In sickness and health.
To love and submit.
To love and submit.
As the church is subject unto Christ.
As the church is subject unto Christ.
To obey and reverence.
To obey and to reverence.
Until God by death.
Until by God by death.
Do us part. The couple has chosen rings as a sign and a pledge of their faithfulness to faithfully carry out these vows. Gustavo, if you would take the ring and place it on her ring finger and repeat after Paul.
Con este anillo,
yo me caso contigo.
Yo me caso contigo.
Y te prometo,
mi fidelidad y confianza.
Mi fidelidad y confianza.
Recíbelo como un símbolo.
Recíbelo como un símbolo.
De nuestra unión sin cesar.
De nuestra unión sin cesar.
Y de nuestro amor continuo.
Y de nuestro amor continuo.
And then Paula, if you would take this ring and place it on Gustavo's finger and repeat after me. With this ring,
with this ring,
I do thee wed.
I do thee wed.
And promise you,
and promise you,
my faithfulness and trust.
My faithfulness and trust.
Receive it as a symbol. Of our unending union.
Of our unending union.
And of our continual love.
And of our continual love.
At this time, there's going to be a number of guys come and lay hands and pray a blessing upon Gustavo and Paula. And so guys, if you're going to be doing that, would you come? Pastor Kelly is going to lead in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we lay hands on Gustavo and Paula. And Father, I just pray that any gift we might have that we could impart to this couple to help them on their way. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would lay your hands upon ours. Oh, Father, that they would receive any gifts we might have. Father, let them be quick to forgive. Lord, let them not have a harsh word one for another. But Lord, let them always, always serve you. Lord, we just pray. We pray for their future. Lord, we pray that your holy angels would be before them, behind them, and that you would guide them and watch over them. Lord, continue to lead them as they do their walk with you. Lord, thank you. Bless their house. Let it be a home where everyone is welcome. Lord, where there's much joy and happiness. Father, I pray this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gustavo and Paulo will be singing "Oh Happy Day."
Thank you.
Now, Gustavo and Paula, if you would face me, please. Gustavo and Paula, after hearing you make before God and these witnesses, declare your loyalty to each other and make these vows of fidelity and seal the covenant with a ring. It is my honor and a great joy to be able to pronounce you husband and wife. No longer two, but one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You may turn around and face your guests. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Gustavo Olivares. Congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah, my privilege. Let's all sing together.
Praise to the Lord, O all things so wondrously creation. Oh, praise then salvation.
You may be seated. The bride and groom are going to be dismissing you. And when you are dismissed, you can make your way right down to the reception hall and wait for the bridal party there. God bless you and thank you for coming.